One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC, used with permission.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
So imagine this for a moment. You're a writer, pouring your heart and soul into your latest project, carefully saving every chapter, backing it up religiously. And your trusted friend, Susan, she's the one keeping the final safety net for you. A flash drive in a fireproof safe locked away like some literary Fort Knox. But here's where things take a turn from the mundane to the unsettling. You sit down ready to wrap up the last chapter of your book. You know the drill. You save everything in a meticulously organized way because, well, you're a writer. You're detail-oriented, careful, methodical. And then, out of nowhere, you find something that shouldn't be there. A file you never created, a chapter you never wrote with a cryptic title that doesn't fit your system. But that's not all. The file holds a number that holds deep personal significance to your friend. Something you didn't know. Oh, and did I mention that your friend was visiting her sister's grave at the time? A grave where the headstone had mysteriously vanished? Now, I'm no expert in graveyard etiquette, but when markers disappear and ghostly chapters show up on flash drives, it's enough to make anyone wonder. And just when you think things can't get weirder, your computer, a machine, mind you, that should only do what it's told, starts acting like it's got a mind of its own. It asks you if you want to replace a file that doesn't exist with a name that ties directly to a personal connection you had no idea about. So here's my question. What's really going on here? Is this some kind of bizarre computer glitch, or is someone or something trying to send a message from the other side? And how do you explain a file that no one created in a format you've never used showing up at exactly the right moment? Stay with me. Because this story is about to get even more unsettling. We're diving into a mystery that blends the technological with the supernatural, and trust me, it's going to make you rethink everything you thought you knew about coincidences. Dear Tony, I never thought I'd be writing to you about something like this, but I guess there's a first for everything, right? I've been sitting on this story for a while now, not quite sure what to make of it. The more I think about it, the less sense it makes, and the more it creeps me out. I've always been a logical person, you know. I deal in facts. I'm a writer. Fiction, sure, but in my own life, I like things to be neat, organized, explainable. What happened last Sunday, though? Well, let's just say it's left me questioning more than a few things. It started when my friend Susan, who's been helping me out with safeguarding my work, went to visit her sister's grave. I had no reason to think her trip to the cemetery was anything more than a routine visit. Susan is the type who likes to check in on family, even those who've passed. But this time, when she got there, the grave marker was missing, completely gone. She called me up distraught, but I didn't think much of it at the time. I mean, things like that happen, right? markers get moved for repairs or something. It's weird, but it's not unheard of. Now, here's where things get strange. Susan, as you know, keeps a backup of my manuscript on a flash drive. I write in chapters, each one carefully saved in its own document, and the last one I'd worked on was chapter 40. I'd finished it and was ready to update the flash drive when Susan got back from her trip. Nothing out of the ordinary, right? And when I plugged in the drive, I navigated to the folder labeled 40, please, sir, where I keep the last chapter and the epilogue. And something caught my eye. A file I didn't create. It was titled 41. Now, Tony, you know how it is when you've spent hours, days, weeks working on something. You know every inch of your work, and I'm meticulous. My chapters are always saved in the same format. 40 chapter 01, 41 chapter 01, and so on. But there was no chapter 41, not in the book, not in the outline, not in my plans. I had stopped at chapter 40 intentionally. Curiosity got the better of me, so I opened it. The document was blank except for the word 41 written across the top. That's it. Nothing else. And the word wasn't in all caps like I usually do for my chapter headings. It was just there. Written, not typed the way I would have done it. It looked off, wrong, like it didn't belong. My first thought was that Susan's daughter-in-law, who's one of my editors, might have been playing a prank on me. But then why would she? She's not the prankster type, and besides, what would she gain by adding a file like that? There was no joke in it, just one word, sitting alone on a blank page. So I did what any confused writer would do. I deleted it. But deleting that file didn't solve anything. If anything, it made things worse. Right after I trashed it, I remembered something, that weird error message I'd gotten earlier. When I tried to save Chapter 40 onto the drive, a message popped up asking if I wanted to replace 40-41. Now, I don't know about you, Tony, but I've never saved anything under the name 40-41. The message didn't make sense. It was like the computer was seeing something that wasn't there. I thought maybe I was just being paranoid, so I checked the drive's properties to see when it had last been updated. Turns out it hadn't been touched in months. No one had added anything to it. Not since I'd injured my wrist and stopped working for a while. I had it written Chapter 41, and nobody had access to the drive except for Susan, her son, and her daughter-in-law. And trust me, none of them are sneaking around creating phantom chapters. That's when Susan dropped the bombshell. 41, she asked. That was the year my sister was born. Her sister, the one whose grave marker had gone missing. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. What were the chances? Susan had been upset about her sister's grave, and now this file, this strange, inexplicable file, was tied to the exact year her sister was born. A year I had no reason to know or care about. I told Susan what had happened with the file and the weird message, and then, almost as if on cue, she said something that made the puzzle click together in the most disturbing way possible. Her brother, she told me, was born in 1940, the same as the first number in that mysterious message. 40-41. Now, I don't know about you, Tony, but I've read about spirits making contact through electronics. I've heard the stories about how they mess with lights or radios, but I've never believed in it. Until now. Because how else do you explain it? How else do you explain a file that nobody created? A file that showed up at exactly the moment Susan's emotions were high, at the exact time her sister's grave marker had gone missing. I think Susan's sister was trying to send her a message. I think that 41 was her way of saying, I'm still here, I'm still watching. But it didn't stop there. That missing headstone? The cemetery called Susan the next day. They told her the marker had been damaged and moved for repairs. Her sister's grave wasn't abandoned or forgotten. It was just in transition. But the timing, Tony, the timing of all of this is too perfect, too coincidental. It's like something was trying to get Susan's attention, to tell her that her sister was still watching over her. I can't shake the feeling that this wasn't a random event, that the weird message, the file, the missing marker, it was all connected. And it's left me wondering if maybe, just maybe, there's more going on in this world than we're willing to admit. So, Where was I? Oh yes, the file titled 41, the one that had no business being on my flash drive. I deleted it, but the whole experience stuck with me. It didn't feel like an accident or some computer glitch. It felt deliberate, like someone or something wanted me to see it. And the more I thought about it, the more I became convinced that this was some kind of message. You see, Susan's sister, her name was Beth, wasn't just an ordinary person in Susan's life. They were incredibly close, despite the age difference. Beth was more like a second mother to her. Susan always spoke of her with a reverence you don't often hear between siblings. Beth had passed away a few years before this happened, and Susan had never quite recovered from the loss. I think that's why the missing headstone hit her so hard. It was like she couldn't hold on to Beth in life, and now even in death, something was taking her away. After the whole 41 incident, Susan and I sat down to really talk about it. I needed to understand the connection between the numbers and her family, because frankly, it was starting to freak me out. When she told me that Beth was born in 1941 and her brother in 1940, it was like a light bulb went off in my head. What if the message about 4041 wasn't just a fluke? What if it was some kind of sign? Say, I think Beth is trying to reach out to you, I told Susan. I know it sounds crazy, but the missing headstone, the file on my drive, the numbers, it's all connected. Susan sat there for a moment, silent, her face pale. I could tell the idea wasn't as far-fetched to her as it might seem to someone else. After all, she was the one who'd been visiting her sister's grave only to find it missing. And now she was hearing that her sister's birth year had mysteriously appeared on a flash drive meant to store my work, not some ghostly message. "You really think it's her?" Susan asked, her voice barely a whisper. I nodded. I don't see how it could be anything else. Now, you might think we were jumping to conclusions, but here's the thing. Sometimes the more you deny something, the more obvious it becomes. All the little pieces were adding up, and while I'm not exactly one to believe in ghost stories, this felt personal. Too personal to ignore. And then Susan told me something else, something that sent a chill down my spine. "You know, I never told you this," she said, "but my brother, the one born in 1940, disappeared when I was a kid. He was given up for adoption before I was even born. My parents never talked about it, and I've spent most of my life wondering what happened to him." That was it. That was the missing piece. Susan's brother had been lost to her in life, and now somehow her sister was reaching out from beyond the grave to let her know that he was with her. It was like Beth was telling Susan, "He's here, and so am I." I had heard of spirits trying to communicate through technology before, but I'd never experienced anything like this firsthand. And let's be real, computers don't just randomly create files with significant numbers attached to them, especially not numbers that carry such weight for the person affected. But it wasn't just about the numbers, it was about timing. Susan had been in a fragile state when she discovered her sister's grave marker was missing, and that's when the file showed up. Not a day before, not a day after. Right in the middle of her distress, it felt intentional, like someone, Beth, perhaps, was trying to comfort her. "I think she's telling you to stop searching," I said. "That your brother is with her now, that they're both at peace." Susan didn't say anything at first. She just nodded, her eyes filled with tears. It was a lot to take in, and I don't blame her for being overwhelmed. After all, how do you process something like that? How do you wrap your head around the idea that someone you loved might still be watching over you, even from the other side? "I wish I hadn't deleted that file," I confessed. "I wish I checked the date it was created. Maybe that would have given us some kind of clue." But Susan shook her head. "No, I'm glad you deleted it. This is spooky enough as it is. If the date had been significant, I think it would have scared me even more." She had a point. Sometimes too much information is just as terrifying as too little. But even without the date, the message was clear. Beth had found a way to reach out to her sister, and she wasn't going to let a missing headstone or the veil of death stop her. Thanks for hearing my story. All right, let's take a step back for a second. Let's just process what we've got here. A flash drive, an unexplained file, the numbers 4041, and a family history so tangled in emotion and loss that it's impossible to ignore the connection. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not one to easily buy into the idea that ghosts are out there messing around with technology. But after hearing this, you start to wonder if there are forces out there capable of doing things that no human hand could accomplish. Things we can't explain away with logic. Here's the thing. Computers don't just generate files out of thin air. It's not how they work. They do what we tell them within the rules we've set for them. But this 41 file? It broke all the rules. It wasn't following any command, any sequence of actions that could explain its presence. It was like it willed itself into existence. And you've got to ask yourself, why? What's the purpose here? It's not random. Numbers like 40, 41 aren't just pulled out of a hat. These numbers meant something deeply personal to Susan. Now, it's easy to dismiss it, to say it was a glitch, a random anomaly in the system. But when you factor in everything, the missing headstone, the birth years of her siblings, the timing of it all, you realize this is more than just some malfunctioning tech. This is personal. This is emotional. This is a message. And what kind of message? Well, if you believe in the possibility of the afterlife, of spirits reaching out to us in whatever way they can, it becomes clear. Beth wasn't just saying hello from the other side. She was comforting her sister, letting her know that her long-lost brother was with her. It's the kind of closure that Susan had been searching for, probably without even realizing it. But here's what I'm left wondering. If the dead can reach out to us through something as ordinary as a flash drive, what other ways could they be trying to make contact? Are we just too distracted to notice? Or worse, are we ignoring signs because they don't fit into our rational, technology-driven lives? You have to wonder. If Susan hadn't been upset about her sister's grave, would this file have even appeared? It seems like these kinds of events are triggered by strong emotional states, by moments of deep longing or loss. It's almost as if Beth was waiting for the right time, waiting for Susan to be in a place where she needed to hear from her. And then she made it happen. Through the digital ether, she sent a message that couldn't be ignored. And frankly, I don't think it was meant to be ignored. But the real kicker here is the technology aspect. It's one thing for a ghost to knock a book off a shelf or appear at the end of your bed. We've all heard those stories. But a ghost using a computer to communicate, that's a whole new level of interaction with our world. And it makes you wonder. Are we moving into a time where spirits, just like us, are adapting to the technology around them? Are they finding new ways to make their presence known in an age where we're more connected to screens than to each other? I don't have all the answers. I don't think anyone does. But what I do know is this. There's more to this life and whatever comes after it, then we can see with our eyes or understand with our minds. Sometimes the dead don't stay silent, and when they do speak, it's up to us to pay attention. So, I'll leave you with this. Could it be that the next time your computer glitches or your phone acts up, it's not just a technical issue? Could it be something or someone trying to get your attention? And if it is, are you ready to listen? Ready?
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, That business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.